First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Amen. Well, I wanted to return to that verse this evening, brothers and sisters, that we are all sons of the light and sons of the day. And consider again what that means for us as we seek to live for the Lord. If you remember, in this final section of the letter, Paul is teaching the Thessalonians and us about the coming day of the Lord. And although no one knows when the Lord will return, we do know he is coming, that it's certain. And so we are not like the world that is in darkness, the darkness of sin and ignorance. In the light of God, we know the truth. And one of the main things that Paul is saying in this passage is that the world, those who are not in Christ, they don't know him, and they do not know that he is coming. And so his return will be like a thief in the night, meaning it's going to be a complete surprise to the world. The world will be getting on with its usual business, and he will come suddenly. But for us, we know the truth. So every day, we should live like it. We should be looking forward to his coming. And with anticipation, it should define how we live, that we want to be ready to meet him. And as part of this, Paul says, we must know that we are sons of the light and of the day. And a very important point that Paul's making to us, the point I want to dwell on tonight, is he's calling us to be separate from the world. Just the very image of light and darkness tells us that. Light and darkness, of course, they don't mix. They're different in nature. They're opposites. There's a separation. They're apart. So as Paul puts it, maybe quite graphically, he says, we're not to get drunk, we're not to sleep like those who belong to the night, but we are to be sober, we're to be watchful, we're to be alert, ready for the Master. We're to live with faith, hope, and love because we're not of the night. And as I'm sure you know, frequently when the scriptures call us light and speak of us being light, it is to emphasize to us how differently we're to live. How we are to be separate from the world. You can think, for example, of the passage in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Or Romans and chapter 13, a passage we've referred to a few times. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And then you've got this point calling us to be separate, made really clearly in those verses I read from 2 Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And so everywhere that we come across light and darkness, this point of separation is emphasized. We're meant to be different. We're meant to be odd fellows who stick out a little, a peculiar people. We're meant to be apart. And of course, the idea of separation is an idea at the very heart of holiness. That's what holiness really means, to be special and distinct and set apart. And in our case, holiness means to be set apart for God. So we're not to think like the world thinks, the way the world and those outside of Christ think. We're not to love the way the world loves. We're not to act the way the world acts. But your whole life, body, soul, mind, belongs to Jesus Christ and is to be devoted to him. You're a son of the light. And no doubt this call to separation is emphasized so much in the New Testament because we find it so difficult. All of us, because it is such a challenge. And so many of the problems that we have in the Christian life, or that the church has, are because we fail to separate from the world. We We cling on to old ways of thinking, old unbelief, old sinful habits and practices. And it's a bit just like those stains on your clothes that just don't seem to wash out no matter how many times you run it through. The flesh is still in us until we go to glory. And there's constant pressure on us from the system of the world around us and the forces of the devil. And it is really hard to live separate as light from dark. And at our current stage of life, I often think as a father about the challenges that our children and the next few generations of Christians are going to face as our society's increasingly gone into darkness. But just very simply this evening, brothers and sisters, I want you to hear the call of this verse. And I want you to take stock. Come before the Lord, and in all honesty, examine your life. Are you living in a way that is separate, that's holy, and devoted to the Lord? Are you living apart from the world and its ways? We heard again in 2 Corinthians, the Lord gives this most incredible promise of his presence, of his fellowship, that he will come to us. He will be as a father to us. He'll dwell amongst us. But that blessing means we must separate. And certainly, if we want to be fruitful in whatever outreach we do, it actually has to start here, doesn't it? With us, and examine our lives. Are we walking separate with the Lord? And of course, there's a price to pay for doing so. And maybe this is why we shrink back as well. Just on a small day-to-day level, don't you find sometimes, when you're around friends and family and neighbours who don't know the Lord, you just feel disconnected sometimes, out of place, because they just want to talk about things that you really don't care about. And they're swept up with whatever the latest thing is in the world. And actually, sometimes that can be quite lonely as a Christian, can't it? That can be quite a big gap, especially if it's someone that you love and you're close to. I really felt that. I hope I'm not sharing anything I shouldn't, but I was on the playground with the kids the other day and listening to some other mums talking about, oh, I got so drunk the other night and all the rest, and I felt like such a alien in a foreign land. But that is how we should sometimes feel as Christians, isn't it? I'm sure you know what I mean. And of course, as we stand apart, there'll also at times be a more serious opposition. There'll be hated, persecution, insults. All who seek to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not may, but will. And maybe the lack of persecution today is because we're not really living as godly as we ought. But all of that is to say, I think what we really, really need is a really strong Christian church community. That's how we find strength and encouragement when we feel alone, when we're separate. It's so important we have such real friendships and kinship amongst us. And we must always be praying that God blesses us that way and deepens real relationships amongst us as brothers and sisters. So there's a call to be separate, but the flip side to that, of course, is we've got to make sure we understand what that really means. And that our being light, separate from darkness, is actually for the world's good. It's actually for the good of people around us. Our separation is not about having nothing to do with unbelievers or the world. It's not about standing aloof. It's not about building up high walls and creating our own little enclave so that we don't really interact with non-Christians. And, you know, sometimes that can be the struggle the other way, can't it? That we're so taken up with so many things, we don't have time for real relationships with non-Christians. What does it mean to be separate? Well, it's about how we act. It's about how we conduct ourselves and our lives and our relationships when we're with people. It's about being different and holy. That's what will make us truly helpful to others. You know, there's the phrase, I'm sure you've often heard it, we're to be in the world, but not of the world. that's something of the right balance. We're to try to emulate the Lord Jesus himself. Think about how our Lord has passed through the world and was always around sinners. Think of the woman of the city who comes in and is touching his feet and washing him. Think about how he goes into the home of Zacchaeus that must have been quite a den of iniquity in some ways. And he's right there alongside sinners, but undefiled, unspotted, without sin. Never once participating in sin with them, but the fact that he was different is what stood out and what was truly going to be helpful to them. We're to try to walk past the mud and not get stained so we can lift others out of it. Think of the words of the Lord on the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now what you hear there is the Lord teaching us two really important things. First, that they need to be separate. This is the imagery of the salt. Salt is only useful when it's different from the food and it's pure and it'll preserve the food and help with the taste. But if that salt gets diluted down and impurities get mixed in until eventually it's no better than just dust or sand, it's not fit for anything but to throw out. It's being different as a Christian that will make us fruitful. Now, I think this is so important. It's worth thinking about evangelism as a church. Because I think so much of what has gone wrong in the Christian church in the last few generations is that so often we've tried to reach the world by being like the world, by copying the world and its values. That's the argument that's made that says, well, we need to move on from the scriptures and we need to move on from the commandments and the morality of God because that's not what the world is. And the world will have nothing, will have no interest in God if we don't adapt and go and meet them where they're at. So we need to look at if we're going to be stick in the muds and say, this is still absolutely the word of God and we're going to obey it all. And, well, that's going to push people away. But the truth is the exact opposite. The more holy and Christ-like we are, the more we stand out, the more good we will do. But then the second point that the Lord makes to us in the sermon is that as the light of the world, and his light, it's his light shining through us, we're not to hide ourselves away. You don't put the lamp under a basket. You can't hide a city on a hill. But we are to go out into the world. We are to engage. We are to bring the light of God to others. Christianity is never a private, personal religion, just for you and God. So let me circle around then, back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and the point that Paul's making. How do we get this balance right? How do we learn to be the light? Well, the point Paul is making in 1 Thessalonians 5 is that the key is to understand the enormous change that has taken place in us. To really grasp how different you are now, thanks to Christ. You are sons of the light. You are not dead in sin. You do not belong to the darkness. Brothers and sisters, you have been saved by grace and brought into the kingdom of God's Son. You are forever changed, born again, set free, and on your way to glory. And there's no going back. And Paul's saying, look, we've got to grasp this amazing transformation that God has worked. I've said maybe one of the great themes of this letter is just the great change that the grace of the gospel makes. And the key to having the strength to live as the light is to start here for your heart to be again captured refreshed by the amazing grace of God, what he's done for you. And then keep on growing in understanding how huge this change is. That's what Paul's saying to us. You've been made into sons of the light. So brothers and sisters, especially in the light of the Lord willing, next week's opportunities, when the Lord willing, we'll be with people who are in darkness. This is a tremendous opportunity God's giving us to be light to them. And even whether there's big numbers or small numbers, or whether you have the chance for just one conversation or for many, it's a tremendous opportunity. You're going to be light in that person's darkness. So be different. Tell them about the hope that we've got. Tell them about the gift of Christ, this tremendous change of what he's done in your life, in all our lives. And the world is a very dark place. When you chat with anybody today, there's almost like a heaviness. But they talk about the state of the country or something. It's deeper than that. It's a spiritual malaise as we're reaping what we've sown. And people feel it. And they feel that the hardness of how hard life is right now. There's so much unkindness. So we're an opportunity as we show kindness, as we speak of Christ, to show them how different life in the kingdom of God is, that we give freely. That there is hope, that there is peace, there is joy, there is love. So brothers and sisters, let's be different. Let's be light. May the Lord help us to do so. Let us pray.